Amen. If we'd open our Bibles this morning to Deuteronomy chapter 8. And beginning at verse 1, Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 1, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're a humble people, Lord, approaching thee reverently and in great love and anticipation, Father, for thy word, because we know thy word is truth. And Lord, we just thank you, Father, for having come down in this hour to show us that way, to come to gather together your elect, to child train us, O God, to get us ready for the going home, helping us to understand our role in the family, our position in Christ. So, Father, we ask that you would be with us today in service. We pray your Spirit, Lord, would not only be here in this room with us, Father, but in each and every heart and deeply in our souls embedded, that we might have the God life bringing forth in us the image of your Son, Jesus. And so, Father, we pray that you would help us as we would study thy word again in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this is number 70 in our series from the Spoken Word is the Original Seed. And I'd like to entitle this, or subtitle this, Every Word That Proceedeth. And we find here in Deuteronomy chapter 8, he says, all the commandments, not just some of them, but all the commandments that I command thee this day shall you observe to do. Not just observe, not just talk about. Actually, he says that you shall observe to do, that you may live. Look how easy God has made it for us. He says, all you have to do is just pay attention to my word and you'll live. And of course, when God speaks of life, he speaks of God life or eternal life. And he has made it so easy for us to be blessed. And all we have to do is hearken or listen and observe what he has to say in his word. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do. Just observe to do. That's all. And that is exactly what Jesus did. In John 5 and verse 19, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you that the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father doing, for what things soever the Father does, these things also the Son does likewise. So God is not saying that we have to be rocket scientists to try to figure out his word. He says, just believe what I say, and then say what I say, and do what I do. That's all. Do what you see in my word, what I do. And isn't that the best way to learn anything? To see someone else do it and just observe and emulate what we see being done? You know, I've never been much of a book learner when it comes to learning from reading. But I can sit down and watch a person do something on the computer and it just takes me one or two times of watching that person and I can pretty much do it. I think most of us are made up that way. We see somebody play an instrument and we watch how they do it and we do the same thing. We emulate. And see, that's the way you raise your children. Your children look to you. They copy you. And Jesus was a carpenter because Joseph was a carpenter. You know, throughout the history of man, the sons usually took on the occupation of the father. If the father was a physician, the son became a physician. If the father was a lawyer, the son became a lawyer. If the father was a carpenter, the son became a carpenter. Because they observe, they're watching, they observe, and then they do. And he says, that's where life comes from. You see? In the animal kingdom, all the animals, they raise up their little children. They teach them how to hunt. They teach them how to fly. They teach them all these different things depending on the species of the animal. You see, they learn by observing. And so we must ourselves, we learn by observing. In John 5 and verse 17, Jesus said, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. In other words, what the Father does, I follow and do the same thing. So Jesus was not the originator, but the Father is the originator. Jesus just did what he saw the Father do, and he just did the same thing that the Father did. So how much easier can you have it? God shows us what to do and what to say, and all we have to do to be like our Father is to do what he shows us to do, say what he has already said. Brother Branham said that the bride will have, thus saith the Lord, or she'll keep still. Well, the Pentecostal mind wants to think that we've got to come up with some great things and say, thus saith the Lord. That's not what it is. Thus saith the Lord is what the Lord has already said. Thus, you see, just saying the same thing. Brother Branham says, say what's on the tapes. Believe what's on the tapes. In John 8:28, Jesus said, then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he. And I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak those things. That's all. Not coming up with some great revelation. Not coming up with some great theology. Not coming up with some great, you know, thing to do. But simply seeing what God has already said and just doing the same thing. He said, the things that I teach, I'm just saying what my Father told me. That's all. And again in John 6 and verse 45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. So everyone that will come must first be taught. And notice, not only taught, but we will have to learn in order to come. But if you're willing to let go of your own ideas, God can teach you. And he's willing to teach you. And that's the beauty of his system. The system of adoption, actually. His system is to train up his children in the way that they're to go, so that when they get old, they will not depart. That's the whole purpose of adoption. Train them up, train them up, train them up. Get them focused. You know, the glory that he came in this hour. That word is doxa. It's the opinion, the values, the judgment. When we are glorified in Christ, when he comes to be glorified in his saints, it means he's come to give us his opinion. We receive his opinion. He's come to give us his values, just like a father or mother would give their children values. We receive those values. We have the same values. He gives us his judgment. And we receive his judgment. And that becomes our judgment. His message becomes our message. The things that he teaches, we teach. The things that he did, we do. And so, like I said, it's not your intellect. It's not your abilities. It's not your great originality. We don't have anything that's original except for what he's given us. He is the original seed. Therefore, in getting back to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 1, and what I like about the spirit of adoption and showing the system of adoption that Brother Branham had, or spoke about, that Jesus spoke about, that Paul spoke about, is the fact that when God teaches, when the Father teaches the Son, the Son is placed under tutors and governors till the time appointed, but he's taught the things of the Father's affairs. If the Father's a banker, then the child would be taught banking. If his Father had a great domain, you know, the child would be taught to run all those different things. If the Father's a king, the child is a prince, he's taught how to be a king, how to act like a king, talk like a king, diplomacy like a king. If the father was a priest, the child would be taught the scriptures and taught to do priestly things, you see. And so when the child then has the mind of the Father, has the will of the Father, has the mind of the Father, then the child is taken up and adopted. Then God steps back, Brother Branham said, like he did with Jesus, and he said, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. In other words, I can step back now, he's got it. He's going to give you the same thing that I'm giving you. That's where God wants us to come to. And it's not rocket scientists. It's not how much we can study, how much we can, you know, how much we can press ourselves in anything. It's simply just letting go and letting God, just getting out of the way. God said that. Oh, I love that. I'm going to do the same thing. You see, God teaches us this. Isn't that wonderful? I'm going to teach the same thing. God does these things. I'm going to do those things. You see? Therefore, in getting back to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1, we read, all the commandments, all, which I command thee this day, shall ye observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And is not that exactly what God did with Jesus? He did the same thing. He said the same things that God commanded him to say. He did what God showed him to do. In fact, he said, I have a will, Father. My will is that you take this cup from me. But you know what? Not my will, but thy will be done. Verse 2, and thou shalt remember all the ways which the Lord thy God, actually not ways as plural, but way. All the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to test thee. To know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. So you see, the entire wilderness journey was set up by God to watch how his children would respond to his training. And to see if they actually were paying attention to his instruction. And notice the very first thing he does is he humbles you. It's like a parent taking the child and giving them a little whack. It humbles them. It lets them know, hey, I'm not the one that's in control here. Mom or dad is. You see, God would give a little spank. He'd give a little whack. And Israel said, oh boy, he's the one that's sovereign. I'm not. It would get their attention. It humbles you. Then he could begin to instruct. And let's face it, when you're learning from the master, it is a humbling experience. And so we read in verse 3, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. And when you're hungry enough, he fed thee with manna, something which you didn't know about, and neither did your fathers know about. So why did God do this? He tells us that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God doth man live. So the whole wilderness journey, with all of its trials, all of its errors, was for the purpose of getting his children to know and to understand that we must place our full and complete confidence, our full and complete trust in God's word. But also notice that in order to make sure that they would learn, he humbled them. That is, he knows how to get your attention. It's like the old schoolmaster, they would walk around with a stick. Now, you kids never probably saw that because the people in this country are so happy. But years and years ago, the schoolmaster would walk around with a stick. Not so much to beat you with it if you got out of line, but just to kind of put the fear of the schoolmaster in your heart so you'd pay attention and listen. Well, didn't God do the same thing with Israel in the wilderness journey? God uses a reverential fear to tweak our attitudes in the way that he wants our attitudes to be expressed. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that what? That he suffered. Then he tells us how that he made the impossible possible just to teach the children to learn to trust him. He says, thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Now, can you imagine that? Their clothes never wore out. I thought, you know, I'm doing pretty good because I've got some suits that are 15, 20 years old. Still wearing them. But these people wandered for 40 years in their clothes that they had on their back. Never wore out. Their feet never swelled. I'd like to have that one myself. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. But the whole ordeal was to teach them to trust in his word. God was child training his children. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Now, a man doesn't chasten his son just because he enjoys beating the child. In fact, beatings is not chastening. You see, chastening should be instructional. If I had to spank my children before I did, I'd tell them why. And I'd let them anticipate it. And I'd look into their little eyes. And I tell them why they're going to get it. And then after I gave it to them, they'd be bawling. I'd be bawling. I'd press them up to my, you know, I'd hug them up close and we'd bawl together. And I'd say, you know, it hurts me to have to do this. You see, that's part of a bonding process, but it's a learning process. There's certain things. You have certain rules. I never spanked my children for if they broke something, but if they maliciously broke it, yes, they got a spanking. And I think we had just very few reasons for them getting it. And one of them was if they lied. Two, if they deliberately hurt someone or deliberately, you know, destroyed something. We always try to teach them that, you know, keep your hands off other people's property. It doesn't belong to you. Now, I'd like to read this from the NIV translation, beginning at verse 1. Now, listen carefully to the wording. Be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised and on oath to your fathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his word. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during those 40 years. Know then in your heart that a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will be lacking nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his word, his laws, and his decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God. You'll forget where it came from, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land, with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of a hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you, so that in the end it might go well with you. You see, all of this is done for you, not for him. You can't add anything to God by praising him. You can't take away from God by doing something that he doesn't like. He's sovereign. He changes not. But to praise him does something for you. All things work together for the good of those that love the Lord, that are thee called according to his purpose. His whole intention is for your betterment, for good, for you. You may say to yourself, my power and my strength and my hand have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations of the Lord destroyed before you, so will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. All you have to do is go to Deuteronomy 26 and see that every single blessing that comes upon you for obedience and hearkening to the voice of the Lord your God, every single one in verses 1 through 15, from 16 and on, it's all it becomes a curse if you don't hearken, if you don't pay attention to the voice of the Lord your God. This nation is under a curse right now. The world is under a curse right now. And part of that curse is they will borrow and not lend. They'll be the tail and not the head. They'll be cursed in the field, cursed in their basket, cursed in the home. The plagues will come upon them. All the curses had been blessings. You'd be blessed in your home, blessed in your field, blessed in the way. You'll be the head, not the tail. You'll borrow, but not lend. You'll lend, but not borrow. You see, all these things that were a blessing, if you pay attention to the words of the Lord your God, that are blessings to you, if you turn from the word of the Lord, they now become a curse. And it says that they shall come upon you and overtake you. I know the blessings have come upon us, they've overtaken us. But if you turn your heart away from the word of the Lord, you put other priorities before him, other gods, other objects of worship, I don't care what it is, God will take what you have, and those curses will come upon you. So you see that God wants so much for us to be like him, and to trust him, and to know him, that he gives us the trials that we need that'll shape us and shape our character and develop his purpose, that we might come to know him and trust him in his word. In Matthew 4, in verse 4, Jesus repeats these words from God his Father when he says, "But he answered and said unto them, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Now, last week we examined paragraph 50 to 51 of Brother Bram's sermon, the spoken word is the original seed. And we, in doing so, Brother Bram spoke of Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 to 20. And if you remember from what we read from the Weiss translation, I thought it was the best translation available for getting the message across. The Weiss translation of Revelation 1 and 1 says, "The revelation possessed by Jesus Christ, which God the Father gave to him for the purpose of making known." So see, God is the originator. Jesus said, "I speak nothing, I teach nothing, but what Father has already taught me." So we see that even the revelation that Christ had and manifested to mankind came from his Father. Now in his sermon, Spoken Word's Original Seed, paragraph 50, Brother Bram said, "Now in the book of Revelation, the 22nd chapter, the 19th verse," I'd like to read this, or beginning at the 18th verse, "For I testify unto every man." Now remember from Genesis where he spoke the word, seed. "For I testify to every man," that's priest, it's pope, it's bishop, state presbyter, whatever the person is. "For I testify to every man," that's a priest, pope, bishop, presbyter, whatever, "that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things," any woman also, because woman is woe man, there's man, okay. "If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book." Well, what about your dogmas, Brother Bram says? What about your unscriptural creeds that you're listening to, all your denominational things? There's not one excused. "If any man shall take away from the word," saying it's not the same, you know, see. "If any man shall take away the words of this book of prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things that are written in this book." So he be a preacher, continuing with Brother Branham. So he be a preacher, see, though he be a church member all of his life, though he be a bishop or a pope, whatsoever shall take away one word out of this book, just one word, do you realize it was one word that Eve doubted that caused all the trouble? One spoken word of God, Eve doubted to be the truth, and it caused every sickness, every disease, every suffering baby, caused every hospital to be built, every operation that was ever performed, every death that ever died. For one person to disbelieve just one word, there you are. And from the message oneness, he said, now let's think seriously, because we never be able to think anymore after this mortal life is over. Your thinking is now. You cannot choose after this. You must choose now. For this is the choosing, making your choice. This is the day. Now one word, not a whole decalogue, just one word. She questioned God, just one word, because it was presented to her in that light that the word was questionable. God's word cannot be questioned. He meant just what he said. But she questioned it because it was presented to her that way. Oh, God surely didn't mean that. But he did mean that. God means every word that he says. And it doesn't need any private interpretation. It's just the way that he said it. Well, you say, how do you know about the Bible? I believe that my God has guided the Bible. He watches over his word. He knew that atheists and infidels would rise in the last days. So he's watched over it. This is exactly the way God meant it. It's the way that it's to us now. Now we must believe it. one word off of it, and we lose our fellowship, and we go off into death, eternal separation from God. You know, when I taught in 2004 in Congo, 200 ministers, or 150 plus 50 like deacons, and the deacons over there do also evangelistic work. The brothers came up to me afterwards and they said, you know, we just learned, after being this message 20, some 30 years, we just learned how to read our Bibles. You see, people read their Bible with their own thinking in mind instead of taking it one thought at a time. Brother Brown preached an entire message on here. One word. Here. They crucified him. Took four words out of a sentence and preached a dynamic sermon. Here. He said, who's that? The most spiritual city in the world. The most religious city in the world. They. Who's that? The most religious people in the world. Crucified. What's that? The most fearful and feared and dreaded form of capital punishment that could be ministered. Here, they crucified him. Who's that? The Lord of glory. How just four little words could tell us the condition of the people, the condition of the city, the life, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Had they known who he was, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But people don't read their word. They don't read the word. You go over to John chapter 2 John. They take quotes of Brother Branham. They take the scriptures and they don't know what to do with it. You go to 2 John. Verse 3, grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father, and, what is and? It's a conjunction. And from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Well, that tells me that there's a message here of peace and mercy from two individuals, God, who is the Father, and from his Son, Jesus Christ. Notice verse 9, whosoever transgresses, what does that mean? Whosoever goes beyond the limits and abideth not, remains not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. Then they don't have the Holy Ghost, do they? Because God is the Holy Ghost. And it says, hath not God, and that word hath from the Greek is the word echo. They echo not God. They don't say what God says. No, they don't. But he that abideth, or he that remains in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son, not three. Both doesn't mean three. Both doesn't mean four. Both doesn't mean one. Both means there's two involved, a Father and a Son. You see, what Brother Branham is saying, what Jesus said, what God said back in Genesis, he said, if you will say it like I say it, you'll be blessed. If you do it like I do it, you'll have the life of me in you. And you'll be blessed. Don't try to figure it out with your own understanding. There's a way which seems right to man, but the way thereof is a way of death. From the message oneness, Brother Bram said, you can't question God's word. It can't be questioned. So why would the Apostle Paul warn us of a curse upon those who would take and pervert this word? In Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, I'd like to read it from the message translation. He says, I can't believe your fickleness. How easily you have turned traitor to him who called you by the grace of Christ by embracing a variant message. And Brother Bram said 1 week before he died, he said, there's 17 different versions of my message right now. 17 back then. How many there are today? Heinz 57? At least, maybe 150. Who knows? When you've got people teaching that we're now in the millennium, they're sick. They're spiritually sick. They can't read their Bible. The Bible says the lion shall lie down with the lamb. The devil will be bound by chain. And Brother Brown says that's a chain of circumstance. He can't get to the people. What's all this killing going on? What's all this maiming? Not only the lions killing the lambs, but the wolves in sheep's clothing killing the sheep. the kids shooting at one another for a piece of, you know, a pair of tennis shoes that have a little pump in them. The sick, sick, sick world that we're living in, and they call this a millennium, they can have it. If this is the best that God could do, I don't want it. Honestly, I do not want it. Brother Branham called it a pest house. How can they call it a millennium? You see? But they're spiritually insane because they won't read it like he said it. How do you get a oneness doctrine out of the Bible? Tell me. Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that means that Jesus had a God and he had a Father. Jesus said, I must go to my God and your God, my Father, your Father. Jesus had a God. On the cross he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? How do you get oneness? How do you get one like your fingers one out of reading your Bible? You see, it doesn't take a rocket scientist, but they all try to be rocket scientists. They all want to be theologians. What really amazed me is when I came into this message out of Catholicism. And every little Tom, Dick, or Harry that was able to read, and some of them couldn't read very well, but they got about that much knowledge, and they got puffed up with it, and they thought that they're great preachers. They walk around with their Bibles about three times this size, you know, walk around the company and just, you know, they strut their stuff. No more call to preach than nothing, but they had a little bit more knowledge than the denominational fella. So they thought they were worthy to handle the holy fire of God. How many preachers do we have in the message doing the same thing? I can't believe your fickleness. How easy you've become a traitor to him that called you by the grace of Christ by embracing a variant message. It is not a minor variation, you know. It is completely other. It's an alien message, a no message, a lie about God. It's a good translation here. Those who are provoking this agitation among you are turning the message of Christ on its head. Like Brother Vail said, the make-believers have taken over the message. Let me be blunt. If one of us, even if an angel from heaven, were to preach something other than what we preached originally, let him be cursed. An angel. I said it once, I'll say it again. If anyone, regardless of reputation or credentials, preaches something other than what you received originally, let him be cursed. Do you think that I speak this strongly in order to manipulate crowds or curry favor with God or get popular applause? If my goal was popularity, I wouldn't bother being Christ's slave. Know this, that I am most emphatic here, friends. This great message I delivered to you is not mere human optimism. I didn't receive it through tradition. I wasn't taught it in some school. I got it straight from God. I received the message directly from Jesus Christ. And from the message Harvest Time, Brother Brown said, then he said in the Bible that he would judge the world by Jesus Christ. And we read here that Jesus is the Word in Hebrews 13 and 8, said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So therefore, he will judge the church by their attitude towards Christ, who is the Word. We will be judged not by how smart we are, not by how theologically correct we are, not by whether our doctrine is right or not. We will be judged by our attitude towards the Word. That's why Brother Branham said you could have a right heart and wrong doctrine, and it's better than if you have the right doctrine with a wrong heart. Now, he didn't say spirit. The people that quote that, they say, well, Brother Branham said, I'd rather have a right spirit and wrong doctrine. No, because if you have a right spirit, if you have the right spirit, you will have the right doctrine because you have God's spirit. But he's talking about the condition of the heart. You can have the doctrine and just be stone cold toward others. Look what we read last night about the drifting away of Ephesus. Instead of focusing on the Holy Spirit in their midst, the pillar of fire, being pleasing to your Father like Enoch, having a testimony that you pleased God. What happens? The people are focused on each other. Focused on how many people they can get into the church, how big the church can be, how many programs they got going.
money, women, popularity. That's not what it's all about. Brother Branham said, He will judge the church by their attitude towards Christ the Word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Not out of the mouth of man. Not out of the seminary, not out of the church, but out of the mouth of God. Man must live by that. And that alone. Not man's interpretation, but God's own word. Well, you say, there's a mistake here. If it is, God's responsible for it. He brought it to me. See? This is what I must take. Right here is what he said. Now, if this is kind of puzzling, and about a man being bread and being word, let's now go and search for this. Let's find out, because the scriptures are all true, and they cannot ever be broken. Every scripture will be fulfilled. I'm still reading from Brother Branham. No matter how strange it seems, it'll always be fulfilled. And from proving his word, Brother Branham said, notice, promised all of his words absolutely is true. He proved them. He proved them because he proved that he was the true word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What? How does he live? If it just takes some of God's word, he'll live. Now, that isn't what it said. Did you ever notice it said E-V-E-R-Y? Every word. How does he live? Oh, he eats in there? No, he's dying fast. That's flesh. Well, he belongs to the church. He believes everything but that. He's still dead. Brother Branham said, you say, well, I believe everything you say, Brother Branham. He said, that just means that you're able to read. Wow. So believing every word Brother Branham said, it just means you can read. What is your attitude towards what he said? Do you get it? He can only live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, out of the mouth of the high priest, out of the mouth of the bishop, out of the mouth of the cardinal or the pastor, out of the mouth of God. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. How do we know it's God's word? He says so, then he proves it. He proves his word. Notice, then if that be so, your confession will not make you live. Well, that'll sink the Baptist ship. They believe everything. They put everything in the confession. Your church membership will not make you live. Notice by his word only. Not just one word misplaced. No one shall... The one word killed the human race. In the Bible, in Revelation 22, one word will still kill the whole thing. His name will be taken from the book of life. Whoever shall add one word or take one word, not two words... Just one word. Not one sentence. One word. One word. Oh, people, do you understand? He was a word prophet. Not words prophet. Word prophet. Every word. So you see how God trains us to take him at his word. Our Father is training us to hear his word. Then to recognize his word. Then to act upon it. Brother Brown preached the message. Hearing, recognizing, and then acting upon the Word of God. Because if you hear it but do not recognize it, then you will not act upon it. From things that are to be, he said, therefore, if you've tonight just come and said, I offer Jesus Christ my life, and you've never received the Holy Ghost, come into it, you must do it. You must grow into it. This is the problem. People think, I got it. I'm in the message. I've got it. No, you don't. You're just beginning. When Israel left Egypt in that Exodus, they were just beginning. And then God had to humble them first, then teach them, child train them. And you know what? 2 million people didn't make the child training. And Brother Branham said, just the Pentecostals where they went wrong, they said, oh, I'm a son of God. I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Brother Branham said, that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. He said, you've got to be the right kind of son to be adopted. The right kind of son. You can be sons of God, no problem. Doesn't mean you're going to be in the rapture. You've got to be the right kind of son. Who's about his father's business. You must grow into it. I like that talk. He said, it's not over when you get it. You must grow into it like a person must grow into it. A person must grow up in the natural way. So we must grow up in a spiritual way. And so God places obstacles across your path from here to there to test to see how that you're going to act. Are you going to act like the mature son or daughter of God? Or are you going to get all fussed up and all mouthy when things don't go the way that you think that they should go? You see, that's the role of the fivefold ministry, is to teach the word so that the people might grow up into a fully mature son or daughter of God. So that we will not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and cunning craftiness whereby man lies in wait to deceive. That's Ephesians 4, verse 11. God uses the teaching of his word to train up his children, to enable them to discern right from wrong, or right wiseness from an unright wiseness. Brother Brown continues, he says, ask God to pile word on top of word like that until you become the full statue of a son or daughter of God. Taking the things of the world, 1 John says, if you love the world or the things of the world, it's because the love of God's not even in you. You've been redeemed. You got the love of the world there, and it's deceived you. The devil has. By piling things onto there and showing you, see, you can't. You cannot take one word of God out of this Bible. What caused the first sin? Not by just a big point blank lie, but because Eve misconstrued, the devil did it to her. One word broke the chain, and Eve refused to take one word. That was the beginning of the Bible. Jesus came in the center of the Bible. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's the entire word of God. You believe that's the revelation of him, the entire word of him? Then in Revelation 22, Jesus came to John on the Isle of Patmos, and Jesus said, I have sent mine angel to testify of these things, that whosoever shall take one word out of it or add one word to it, I'll take his part out of the book of life. A lot of them say, well, I believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's all right. Then add the rest of it. In other words, well, I believe that this eyes and this mouth, that's the picture that I'm getting of Jesus Christ. So you stick on a big old nose. You got the same person? No, you don't. You've all seen those things where you can, maybe I'm dating myself, but anybody remember Mr. Potato Head? You did? Okay, you're pretty young to do that, but Steve, you probably remember, don't you, Patty? Okay, Mr. Potato Head. You know, he had this head, you know, like a potato. You put eyes on it, you put nose, stuff like that. You switch around the personalities of the potato, of the face, by putting a different nose, different ears. Well, if Jesus Christ is if this Word of God is the revelation of Jesus Christ, it is a declaration, the unveiling of Christ, then to add one word puts a different nose or different eyes. It puts a different perspective. It makes him a different person than what he is. Does that make it clear? So to add one word, you're doing something to alter who God really is. You see? So Brother Brown says, a lot of them say, well, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Well, I believe that Jesus and God were not one like your fingers one. I believe that Jesus was a dual being. You know, I can quote the theology. I got the theology right. And Brother Brown said, well, that's all right. But then add the rest of it. Look, you might have the doctrine right, but what about the conduct? What about your attitude towards God and His children? And from God's chosen place of worship, Brother Bram said, in the beginning, God fortified His people with His word. One word misconstrued caused every death, every headache, every sorrow. Eve, she never broke a sentence, she broke a word. When Jesus came in the middle of the book, that was the first of the book. When Jesus came in the middle of the book, what did he say? It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In the last of the book, Revelation, the 22nd chapter, 18th verse, the very last part of the Bible, Jesus speaks himself and said, I testify that if any man shall take one word out of this book or add one word to it, his part will be taken out of the book of life, because he's a false prophet and has misconstrued the people, and their blood will be accounted to his hand of doing so. We must keep that one place of worship, and that is Jesus Christ, the Word. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? All right? Remember, there's no other place to worship, not a place that God chose it, but in His Word. And from the sermon, Shalom, Brother Branham said, O Heavenly Father, now we bring to you every hand that's up everywhere. and let the Holy Ghost of God bring to them the rhythm of the word and its truth, that they are to be molded now into sons and daughters of God, and they are to be the reflecting of the light of God upon the earth. They are to be the manifested word, that men and women are to live the way that Jesus lived. You see, there's our pattern. And to believe every word of God and to live by it like he did. For he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Not just a few of the words, part of the words, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The word at Moses' time did not work in the days of Jesus. The word in the days of the apostles does not work in this day. It's a promised word for this day. They said themselves and spoke it by the Holy Ghost. Now what would take place in the last days, how that the churches would be heady, high-minded, how the whore would rise up and the harlots would be right with her, and how that they would darken the earth in the last church age, the Laodicean, Jesus would be completely taken out from the church. O Lord, let me stay with him, the Word, and manifest his light through all of us as we set forth in this year with a determination, not knowing what this new year will hold, but we're holding to him, the Word, that knows the whole sympathy from the beginning to the end. He knows every move and every junction. And Lord, we're just watching him, keeping our eyes on him, the Word. Then when we see these things appear, we know that we're right in the rhythm of the Word. Granted, save every lost soul, Lord, that's here, and everyone that hears the tape, we commit them to thee for thy kingdom's sake, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now from the message, Thirsting for Life, Brother Ram said, now, someday I'll be gone too. Someday we'll all be gone. Parting leaves behind us footprints on the sands of time. May God ever let his work continue on. May we walk faithfully in the cause that he died behind, is my prayer. I wish to read just some from the Bible now. I just love the reading of the word. You know, the Holy Spirit feeds on his own word. Jesus said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And if you just take it each day, not as just a routine, but just to just make it that your heart craves for it, to just sit down and each day and read so much out of the Bible, you'd be surprised what it'll do for your spiritual growth. It certainly will. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now may I ask that you would raise your hands, but not actually these hands, but the hands in your heart, because I really don't want to know. But how many of you every day read from your Bible? Or how many of you leave your Bible in church so that it's there? You see, if you're leaving your Bible in church, if you don't have one at home to read from, I mean, it's okay to have one in church if you've got one at home. You should have one in your car too. You should have one in your desk at work. You see, man doesn't live by bread alone. Man doesn't live by punching the ticket in and out. Man lives by the word of God, every word. And Brother Branham said, if you would just every day read from your Bible, you would see how much you grow spiritually. From the Good Shepherd of the Sheep, Brother Branham said, little did he know it through his youthful days being blind. He was born blind, and through his youthful days it might have been hard for him to understand, but after a while he finds out it was for a testimony of the Lord Jesus. Now God does things like that. Now another about these sheep, if they have to have a shepherd, a man, a owner of the sheep, when he went to get a shepherd, he went and searched out till he got the best shepherd he could have gotten, because he loved his sheep. And this man must be special trained in knowing how to care for the sheep. He must know the kind of food that they should eat. You know, there's a lot of sheep food, and there's a lot of food you give your sheep that would kill it. And I'm so glad that God was mindful enough of his sheep to get the right kind of shepherd, the Lord Jesus. He knows what sheep food is, and you know what sheep food is. It's the word of God. Man shall not live. Now, may I change that just a bit? Sheep shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Remember, didn't Jesus say, my sheep hear my voice, and another man's voice they will not follow? So Brother Branham says, may I change that a little bit? Sheep shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The sheep of God are fed by the Word of God. The Holy Spirit in you, what makes you the sheep, it feeds solemnly on the Word. And solely He feeds on the Word. Anything you throw in the pen outside of the Word, He will root it out to one side and let it be there, and let it lay there. That's pretty strong. I don't know whether you know that what I'm talking about or not, but that's the Word. The very power, the camel, but the very power that packed Rebecca to her groom is the very power she watered at the well. The very power that's going to pack you out of here. He said, if the Spirit of God that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that Spirit will quicken your mortal body. And that Spirit in you has got to be fed. And it can only be fed a diet of the Word. The world and the things of the world will not feed it. It'll kill it. You've got to feed the Christ child that lays in you. Because when you were quickened by the Spirit, another life begin to grow in you to take over your vessel. But you've got to feed it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. So we see today that he was telling us in Deuteronomy that they were child trained. But God had to humble them first to get their attention. Like you do with a child. You might give them a little smack on the bottom just to get them to look into your eyes. And I always, when I got my children's attention, I made sure that they were looking me right in the eyes when I talked to them. Don't look off. Don't wander. I want your face. I want to look you right in the eye because the eye is a portal to your soul. Brother Ram even said that. It's the open door to your soul. Make sure you have their attention. And God, many times, He gets our attention. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank You for Your Word. We recognize, Lord, that You are the same. You change not. So what You did for the children of Israel during that first Exodus, You're doing the same in this Exodus. And we see, Father, that in that Exodus there was a falling away. And in this Exodus there also was a falling away. And we realize, Lord, that Ephesus was relaxed and drifting. The people got material. They got to be where they had lots of numbers in their church, and so they begin to drift. They begin to think, we're okay, we got it. We've got Brother Branham, we got Brother Vail, we've got it. And they didn't recognize, Lord, that they didn't have it because they didn't have You. So, Father, we pray that as Brother Branham said, you say, well, I believe every word you say, Brother Branham. He said, that just means you can read. Help us, Lord, not just to be readers of the Word, but help us to be doers. May that life so permeate every fiber of our body that what You do, Father, we see You doing and we do it also. What You taught us, Father, to say, that's all we say. What Your doctrine is, the doctrine of Christ, that's our doctrine. And what Your will is, we forfeit our will to do Your will. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's sing that song. Just, I know whom I have believed. I think it's from 1 Timothy 1:12. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him. Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee. peace and give thee peace forever. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make his face shine to you. Have one or two more songs that you could bless us with? Say thank you very much for pouring yourself out for our little group here. I want you to know that whenever you feel led to come back, you're more than welcome and be part of the family here. God bless you. And let's all stand and we'll ask Brother Derek if he'd close the service in prayer. Amen. God bless you all.